Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. Back to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve and slide down into potential BS, bait and switch, or worse. So I'm here week in and week out, delightfully sharing with you my heart. I am a man on a journey toward love. I am not a professor. I am not a perfected lover, but I sure am on a pilgrimage to love. My life is dedicated to love. I found life in love. I discovered a better life through love. And love is what has carried me day by day by day. Whether it's the love of God, which is the primary love of my life, or the love of my wife, the love of my family, the love of friends, the love of community, I am here. I can breathe, I can eat, I can sleep, I can keep going one more day because love has been my journey. I have discovered, though, that other people, many people, in fact, are on a journey of BS. They will BS you as long as they can maintain some kind of control or manipulation. Other than love, they will just keep on BSing. So my observation of that is I'm still going to love those folks. Because especially those that are my enemies, Jesus told me, taught me that I am to love my enemies because it is in loving my enemies I discover more about myself. And I discover more about what I'm going to talk to you today about. And that is perfect love. Is there such a thing as perfect love? My answer is yes, there is such a thing as perfect love. And I believe that perfect love is that for which we are each throwing ourselves day by day. I'm throwing myself at perfect love. But let me back up a moment. Perfect love is described in 1 John 4:18 when it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." Hear that again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. The Amplified version of that verse says, "There is no fear in love," parentheses, dread does not exist there, but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of punishment, divine or human. So the one who is afraid of punishment or judgment is not perfected in love, or has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I want to talk to you today about perfect love. Yeah, perfect. Perfect love. A love that is perfect. You and I are, I think, on the receiving end. I believe with all my heart we're on the receiving end of perfect love. God is perfect love. And yet, we are invited to that same perfect love, to be a people who are loving perfectly so that fear is being cast out. Every friendship, every relationship, every community encounter, every stranger encounter, every neighbor or enemy encounter is an opportunity for us to experience or at least reach for perfect love. So the answer to the question that might come is, oh, there is no such thing as humans having perfect love. No human could ever have perfect love. Well, I beg to differ. First of all, I believe that Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God. He is God in the flesh, and Jesus loved perfectly. So there is one historic example that there has been a human who loved perfectly. That being said, he invites us. He said, "Now I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Uh-oh. Now we've been told by the one who has lived a human life with perfect love, we've been told and commanded, invited, and drawn into the prospect of living a perfect love as he did too. Oh, how hard is that? Well, it's going to be very hard, and yet it's going to be worth the journey. Now, hear me carefully when I say that, worth the journey. So when we talk about perfection in anything, I think we need to have some kind of analogies about it, because I don't know that anybody has a great specific and perfect analogy of perfect love. But let me give you a couple of ideas from the sports world. I've used this in other contexts before, but perfect love could be compared to a perfect game in baseball. Perfect game in baseball is when a pitcher throws the pitches through the majority of a game with no hits and no runs. That is a perfect game when the other team has had no runs, they've not been able to make it to base, or they've had no runs or hits, no home runs. That pitcher who pitches through the majority of that game, if not all of it, is considered to have pitched a perfect game. Now, in 140 years of Major League Baseball, approximately a quarter of a million games in 140 years of Major League Baseball, only 23 perfect games have been pitched. Only 23 out of a quarter of a million. And no pitcher has ever pitched twice a perfect game. Now imagine this. Imagine that a pitching coach comes along and says to the pitchers of a team, I'm gonna teach you how to pitch a perfect game. I'm going to teach you all how to pitch a perfect game. And the pitchers on that team say to the coach, well, hey, coach, how many perfect games have you pitched? Well, the answer from most pitching coaches, in fact, if not all currently living, most pitching coaches would say, well, I've never pitched a perfect game, but I'm going to expect you to pitch a perfect game. That's pretty close to it being a good analogy for us to consider when it comes to perfect love. Perfect love. How many of you have lived a perfect love? How many of you have given away a perfect love? I see no show of hands, and that's more than just because I'm on radio. I know there are no hands out there. Mine is not up. But how many of you want to be coached toward a perfect love? That's the analogy here. Another analogy from the sports world as far as perfection is concerned, in the game of golf. Oh, my. I golf every 2 or 3 years, and that's the absolute truth. In fact, I just shot a round of golf the other day with my son for the first time in 3 years. There is no more maddening game than the game of golf, and yet there is no more fun than being out there swinging a club at a little ball in the grass and hoping to hit that hole-in-one, or at least a par, which is to say if there's a hole is supposed to be made in 3 shots, then that's par if you do it in 3 shots. Well, I'm here to tell you I've never had a perfect shot. I have never hit a perfect ball. There's no such thing in Randy's experience of having had a perfect golf game. But there is such a thing in the world of golf as a definition of a perfect round of golf, which would be 18 holes. And that would be an average birdie every hole. 18 holes, average birdie, meaning one stroke under the necessary par for that particular hole. I don't know that there are any statistics out there for if it's ever happened, that a perfect game of golf has ever been played. I don't know. I doubt it. And yet, how many tens of millions of you and others are out there swinging that club at a little ball in the grass, trying to get that perfect game? It's an enigma, isn't it? It far stretches beyond the human imagination that you could ever hit a perfect game. I know somebody might say, well, isn't a perfect game a hole in one for 18 holes? Well, I suppose that would be really perfect, and yet some of those holes are 500 yards long, and to my knowledge, nobody's ever struck a golf ball 500 yards long. So at the end of the evaluation of golf, everybody that plays golf plays it imperfectly. Everybody that's out there stroking away, hitting that golf ball from a sand trap or the tall weeds or searching for a ball in the woods, everybody's looking for a perfect game, and yet nobody's played one. That to me illustrates how we need to be reaching for perfect love. One more analogy from the sports world, then I'll get on to more serious business here. In bowling, I've bowled a lot in my high school and college days, and I can tell you I averaged at my best about 160 points per game. And you know what? That's a little more than half of what a perfect game is. A perfect game in bowling is 300. So if you do all strikes in one game, you're going to score 300. And the odds of anybody bowling a perfect game are 1 in 12,000. Only one game in 12,000 games played in an aggregate total for all the bowlers that are throwing that ball down the alley. Only one game in 12,000 are bowling a 300, a perfect. And yet, how many people, how many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, all through the world are throwing a 14, 16-pound ball down an alley trying to strike those pins to play a perfect game? I bowled rather well, I think, for myself, and yet I've never rolled a perfect game. Why would I keep throwing that ball down the alley? Well, it's the elusive target of perfection. So there you have it. In the sports world, we just keep doing it, don't we? Just keep stroking that golf club. We just keep throwing that baseball. And, you know, if we keep having imperfect coaches teaching pitchers how to throw a perfect game, we keep having coaches that have never thrown a perfect game trying to teach a pitcher how to throw a perfect game. We keep throwing a bowling ball down the alley hoping for that 300, and yet we are, most of us, not reaching for that, or having arrived, I should say, at that level of perfection. That illustrates perfectly for me the journey, the enterprise, the exercise, the reach for perfect love is worth the reach. It's worth the participation. It's a learning on every moment of every ball that you roll down the lane, of every word you speak to a person along the way. If you're of any kind of self-awareness, if you're a person of any kind of empathy or compassion, hopefully you're evaluating your interactions with people on a routine basis. Hopefully, each of us, with empathy and compassion alive inside of us, we're working towards some idea of how to perfect our love, knowing that on any given day, we're most likely not to have given out perfect love. And yet, on the other side of that, we all expect it, don't we? We all expect others to love us in some perfect way, knowing full well we ourselves rarely, if ever, love perfectly. Now, in the exercise toward perfect love, we have to remember, first of all, that God is love. Love is God. If you believe in love, then you believe in God. If you believe in God, you believe in love. Love is not just the character of God. Love is God. If you could imagine love in some full expression, you would see God. Oh my, seeing God is seeing love. Seeing love is seeing God. So that's why we all enjoy one, you know, brief moment in our human interactions. Somebody expresses love in a tender way, in a genuine way, in an authentic way, in a vulnerable way. Somebody says something to us that is so incredibly loving, and there's something in the human heart that lights up. Inside, this thing goes on. You know, that light inside of your soul just turns on. Why? Because for just that fleeting moment, we felt, we saw, we heard, we smelled, we touched love that was perfect. And then we say, oh, could we ever just keep doing that? Can we ever simply keep practicing that? My answer is yes. But I do feel like that baseball coach, pitching coach, when I'm telling you, I've not pitched a perfect game, but I do want to coach you to pitch a perfect game. I've not loved perfectly, But I am aiming in this Nobi as Bishop radio broadcast to teach you, to train you, to coach you, to mentor you, to give you ideas, to inspire you, to ignite in you the pursuit, the happy, joyous reaching for perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. I've said it this way before. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Fear holds the concept of the nature of the expectation of punishment. Fear says, if I do it wrong, you're going to punish me. Fear says, if I don't get it perfect, you're going to somehow shove me aside. Well, that fear is the opposite of love. But where there is love, where love exists, there is no fear. There is no expectation of punishment. There is no expectation of being cast aside. So if I'm coaching you at all toward love, I would coach you to say that no matter what the response is, no matter what the negative reactions you may get from others when you are loving, never, ever give in to the posture that you want them to fear you the next time they see you. You do not want fear as a part of your MO, your modus operandi. You don't want fear to be a part of your personality. And as such, you are reaching for love in every interaction so that love gives everyone the opportunity in your sphere of influence to expect that you will be back again even if you have been rejected. You'll be back again on some level. Yes, you may have boundaries. Yes, you may set some containment of the punishment you got from somebody when you tried to love, but yet you're not going to give up. You're not going to seek to punish somebody because they didn't receive your love perfectly. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love says, even if you've done it wrong in response to my love, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still willing to journey toward love. So as I keep making the analogy of being a pitching coach in a baseball team, I've never pitched a perfect game, but I want you to pitch a perfect game. I'm not often, well, I can say there have been brief moments, you know, like everybody. I've had brief moments in my life where I felt like, what I gave there was the very most perfect love I could imagine in the moment. What I gave in that moment was perfect love. And if only I could take those moments and extend them into days, if I could take those days and extend them into weeks, you see what I'm saying? If I could extend those weeks into months and those months into years, well, then my life would be perfect love. But in the process, I am reaching. I am stretching. I'm keeping myself alert, not in a tormenting way, not in a way that beats. I'm beating myself up when I fail, but in a way that every time I stumble, I make note. I keep a journal. I'm not real perfect even at my journal, but I like to keep record of my thoughts or my ideas. Day by day, and I want to keep some kind of reminder to myself of how I did in any given day. Again, like any athlete that's playing the game of golf or rolling a bowling ball or pitching a baseball, I want to know, what did I do in the moment that was such a great pitch? And if I'm a pitcher, how did I throw that fastball right past that hitter so that they weren't even able to swing the bat at it? How did I do that? You know, what was the weight of my foot? How much of my distribution of my weight of my body on that left foot or that right foot? How did I feel when my arm hurled that ball toward the strike zone? That's what I'm talking about. I know that when I have loved well, I know that that whole satisfaction of loving well comes back to me. It really does. You know that, don't you? You've had that moment when you've loved well and you know that somebody was in need of love and you loved at a point that you know that your love was being given in a way that was so needed by somebody. Absolute love brings absolute satisfaction. It may not be perfect. Maybe it is perfect. So you could say it that way too. Either it's absolute love brings absolute satisfaction, or perfect love will bring back perfect love. When you have loved well and you have given love in a way that you can look back and say, I'm so glad I loved that way. You are in the moment. The reward is right there. You have a secure sense that in this one and only life, you pitched a perfect game. In this one and only life, you threw a strike ball in that bowling game. You know, when that happens, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overuse the athletic illustration, but when that happens, when you throw a strike in bowling and you turn around and see your teammates or your friends look at you and they're clapping and smiling, you have this sense of, oh, that feels so good. I wish every time I throw the ball, it was just like that. When it comes to love, every time I love like that, I want it to be a consistent thing in my life because the satisfaction is so real. The pleasure is so beautiful. The notion that as a human being, I have loved well. Oh, that brings back to you a perfection that nothing else can bring to you. This is why I say, I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. I want every value in my life energized, held by, secured in, and moved by love, because I realize that if I give up on love at any level, if I give up on having love as my understanding, the stand under which I have taken, I know that then I'm just going to go lazy. I'm going to manipulate. I'm just going to be inauthentic. I'm going to put up my mask and pretend to be something I'm not. And that is, there is no satisfaction in that. No real come back to me reward. And so I'm telling you that in a sense, perfect love given is a selfish thing, because perfect love given will bring back to you perfect love experienced. And in a certain way, that's really selfish. You're helping yourself. You're giving yourself that wonderful reward of having done something, not just well, but maybe for a brief, fleeting moment, it was perfect. I hope that makes sense. Perfect love casts out fear. It removes the notion that punishment is behind my motives. It removes the notion that I've got to teach you a lesson. I've got to get my pound of flesh. I've got to show you what for. I've got to get you manipulated into what I want. Yeah, that's what imperfect love is all about. In fact, it's not love at all. It's just values that are less than love. So we are being invited to be alive to love, to live a life toward perfect love, to live a life in the atmosphere of perfect love, keeping ourselves in the warm beauty, the warm sun-drenched significance of the love of God, keeping ourselves refreshed in the love of God. This is why I think everybody should reach for genuine spiritual experiences, whether it be a church service that you love or a song that you sing, or a certain preacher maybe that you have listened to and you say, oh, when I hear that preacher's word, I feel love. Getting into that atmosphere, bringing yourself into the warmth, the beauty, the tropical air of the love of God brings such refreshing, such a hope-filled notion, so that out of that deep and satisfying well, you are able then to love well. I almost said perfectly well. Maybe perfectly. Maybe you'll throw that perfect game. Yeah, I sure hope you see what I'm offering you here. Perfect love casts out fear, and a reward to those who receive it. It's a reward for those of us who give it. Well, we're coming down to the end of the broadcast today, and in the exercise of perfect love, I think it's important for all of us to learn how to breathe well, to get a full lung full of air to slow us down, give our mind, our emotions, our psyche the opportunity to just be at peace. I believe breathing well is one of those, it's just one of those simple childlike exercises that'll give you space to live in perfect love. So on the count of three, I want you to take in a deep breath. Breathe in love, all right? Breathe in love, and then we'll exhale gratitude, all right? Breathe in love on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. And hold. And exhale. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, gratitude. That's part of perfect love. Being grateful at all times in all ways. Not necessarily for every specific thing, but grateful in the middle of things that could be really sideways and wrong. Breathing, folks, it's automatic on most levels, but on many levels, it can be done well just on a full exercise of intention. And then the second exercise is similar to the first. It's loving somebody well. I've had a few moments of sweet perfection, especially with my precious wife, where we look each other in the eye and we say the most charmed, magical, wonderful, marvelous words in the human language. I love you. If you've not heard me say this before, I do this every time I gather with you for the No BS Bishop. I tell you that looking somebody in the eye and saying it with full intention, a full one word at a time, not rapid fire, not in some kind of sloppy, I love you, but in a full exercise of perfect love. Sometimes the best way to do perfection is slow. And when you look somebody in the eye and say, I love you, right there, there's a little bit of perfect love. Fear runs at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. When perfect love shows up, fear has nowhere to stand. Well, there you have it. It's the reach for perfect love. I talked about baseball and golf and bowling, but even more so important, all the more important than that, I talked about reaching for the perfect exercise of love in this life, getting yourself involved with the perfect love of God so that you then can be a distributor of the perfect love of God through your life. And by doing so, you will experience such a grand reward. Thanks for being with us here again today for this episode of Alive to Love. I am the No BS Bishop. Lesser values than love simply devolve into BS. God bless you. Happy trails. Now go out there and do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. We'll see you next time for the next episode of the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.